The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm very happy to welcome Rachel McLaughlin now to the show this morning. And Rachel's a great colleague of mine, professor in immunology in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology, like myself. Rachel, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
And you've got a great story to tell. And I saw this myself, obviously, and I knew about your research anyway, but you published a very important paper last week on MRSA, a very important topic. So tell us, what have you discovered?
So my research is focused on understanding the immune response to this bacterium, Staphylococcus aureus, which causes MRSA. And MRSA is one of these superbugs. So it causes very nasty infections, and we don't have antibiotics that work against these infections. So what we're trying to do is maybe make a vaccine. And if we had a vaccine, that would prevent people getting infections in the first place. So my whole area of research is in understanding the immune response, because you can't make a vaccine until you understand what you want that vaccine to do, as you well know. So what we've discovered is that this bacterium is very, very clever, and it has a mechanism to sort of dampen down the immune response. So in your immune system, you have these breaks in the system so that these come on so that you don't get too much inflammation, which would cause tissue damage. And this bacterium is able to turn on these breaks. And what we found was if we tried to vaccinate with something that turns off the break, the vaccine worked better. So this is really interesting and exciting step forward, because a lot of people have been trying to make vaccines against MRSA for a long time. And all of the vaccines that have gone into clinical trial haven't worked. And we think now maybe this may be one of the reasons why these vaccines haven't worked.
And the break is the famous IL-10, isn't it?
The break is the famous IL-10.
And listeners, I know that, but we work on IL-10. Why did you pick IL-10? Did you figure that is a key break, obviously?
So we'd been working.
Was there evidence that it was going up?
Yeah, so we'd been working on it for a while, and some other groups had as well. And looking in the context of infection with this bacterium, we saw that it seems to turn on IL-10 as a way to allow it to cause the infection or to persist during the infection. And then we got thinking, well, I wonder if maybe that's something we could tweak or manipulate with the vaccine to improve it. And the thing that's really interesting about this bacterium, because in addition to being able to be very deadly and kill you if it gets into your bloodstream, it lives in and on most people quite happily. And this is why it's very tricky to develop vaccines against bacteria like Staph aureus, because your immune system sees it all the time and doesn't think it's a threat. So for healthy people, as I said, it lives up your nose and causes you no problem. So your immune system doesn't think it's a problem. You come along then trying to with a vaccine to get your immune system to respond to it. And the immune system says, well, I don't need to respond to this. Yeah. This is not a problem.
It's very cunning, isn't it?
It's very clever.
You can flip that IL-10 break and then you don't get an immune response to it. But whereas you found if you stop that break being flipped, now the immune system can kick off. But it's a very serious thing, isn't it, MRSA? And I mean, a lot of deaths and a lot of children get badly affected, don't they?
Yeah, no, huge, huge problem. And there was a big study back in 2019 looking at antimicrobial resistance. And they found that about 1.2 million people every year die from infections with bacteria that once upon a time we had antibiotics that could treat them, and now these antibiotics don't work. So it's very serious. And Staph aureus or MRSA is one of the key bacteria that contribute to those numbers.
Right.
So having a vaccine to prevent infection with this would be a real game changer, I think, for our health systems.
Yeah. What are the numbers, right, in terms of deaths and so on? I mean,
so in Ireland, about 40 people every year would die from an MRSA bloodstream infection. Right. So there's about 1,200 Staph aureus bloodstream infections a year. And of those, about 130 would be this MRSA form, the one that the antibiotics don't work from. And unfortunately, about 40 people would die. So they're significant numbers.
And even if you don't die, there's people getting very sick, isn't there? Ending
up
in hospital. It's a burden on the health. I mean, I always say one reason for vaccination is to take the pressure off our health system, isn't it?
Because absolutely,
if you vaccinate, there's less people than turning up in hospital with these conditions.
And also, so MRSA really, when people go into hospital, this is where they can pick this up. So you might go into hospital for something like a hip replacement, which should be very routine. You pick up an infection and then you spend much longer in the hospital system. So if you had your vaccine taken before you went for your hip replacement, you could maybe potentially avoid that.
Yeah, so the financial benefits could be great as well, I presume, along those lines.
Yes.
And I remember back in the 80s, there was obviously, so hospitals are dirty and they're full of MRSA. Do you remember this? And there was always worries. When I was living in England, I remember the NHS was accused of, you know, using contract cleaners, and those hospitals had more MRSA in them. Is that still the case? I mean, what about in Ireland? Is it pretty rampant in an Irish hospital situation?
So the good news is we've done very, very well over the last probably 10 to 15 years. Infection control in hospitals and antibiotic surveillance. So this is where they watch what antibiotics are being used and where. And we've reduced our MRSA numbers very significantly. So we're doing much better than we were. But there's still about 12% of infections caused by this bacterium are MRSA. So we've probably, I think we've maybe done as well as we can in terms of infection control. And so we need to come at it now from another angle to deal with that last 10%. And the vaccine would potentially be a way to do that.
To do that, right. And what gets me, you said it kind of, but it's a fascination. This lives on our body and we don't get sick, right? Why? What, the transition into disease. Is there much known about that? Is it just sort of a severe surgery that might open up a wound? Or I mean, why do people develop this into an illness when it's in our bodies anyway?
Yeah, and that's a great question. And I think there's a lot of bacteria that are like this, and it depends on where they are. So if Staph aureus stays in your nose, it's quite happy there and it doesn't cause a problem. But if it gets out of your nose and it gets somewhere it shouldn't, for example, into a new hip joint or into your bloodstream because you had surgery, that's when it causes really devastating problems. And it's not the only bacterium that can do that. And that's why this research is really interesting, because I think the same phenomena could be relevant for other types of bacteria that can similarly live on us happily, but if they get into the wrong place, can kill us.
Right. Yeah. And children, they're affected badly as well, is that right?
Yeah. Or- like a lot of infections, both ends of the spectrum, yeah. You know, the very old and the very young are the most susceptible cohorts. And so, you know, that's, again, you know, something we have to consider. And that's why infection is so serious in those groups and has to be controlled very well in those groups.
Right. Now, of course, it was funded by Science Foundation Ireland. Let's give them a plug. They've been in the news recently for the wrong reasons,
they
probably,
have.
But this is an SFI funded project. And what's the next step now? Because what will happen now?
Yeah.
What are you going to do next?
And I think that's a really important point because, you know, this is basic understanding of the immune system and SFI funds that basic fundamental research. And we need that fundamental research funded because these are the stepping stones to the next step. So the next step now would be to see, can we partner with, you know, companies that have vaccines that they've been trying to get to work that haven't been working? And with this new knowledge now, might we be able to take those vaccines a step forward towards, you know, real life impact.
And you're talking to companies, are you
trying to engage that road,
to promote this further. And I suspect there's going to be big interest because, as you say, GSK, for instance, or any company would love to have a vaccine for MRSA, wouldn't they?
Well, the interesting thing with MRSA is a lot of the big pharmas have already tried. So GSK have tried, Pfizer has tried. Yeah. So they are interested in this and they're looking for the next nugget of information that might help them push it forward.
Push it forward, yes. So you're optimistic as ever.
Well, you have to be optimistic in this business.
I can tell you that this is, obviously I know you as a colleague, it's a fantastic piece of work and published in a very prominent journal, which is what we like to see as well. And the message has got out there. This is a great discovery from an Irish immunology lab led by our good self. So congrats on that.
And thank you very much.
Let's hope the next step now is as exciting.
So we'll watch this space.
Watch this space.
Thanks very much, Luke.
That's Professor Rachel McLaughlin, Professor in Immunology from the School of Biochemistry and Immunology.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.